If you don't set a goal or clear direction, people just float.
The person with the strongest energy will dictate the energy of the day.
People always leave when they run out of future. Just do the thing that you know is going to move the needle and don't worry about the rest.
Hey, so I'm sitting here with Janine and we're about to dive into something I've been talking about for a while now. Meetings, team meetings, the thing most salon owners dread, and frankly, the thing most salon owners are getting wrong when they finally have one. Here's what I know. You've run a team meeting, you've sat down, you've talked about stuff, everyone's nodding along. And then nothing changes. Nobody remembers. The behavior doesn't change. And you sit there thinking, what's the point? So you stop doing them altogether. Janine and I go way back. We were baby salon owners across the road from each other, borrowing color, developer, and water tanks. She's been doing the business of color in salons for the last decade. And what we're discussing is this. There are five meetings that actually rule your salon. Not five random meetings. Five specific ones with specific purposes that move the needle faster than anything else you could be doing. So if you've been wondering why your team isn't stepping up, why nobody's taking ownership, why you're still stuck in the detail, this is the podcast episode that changes that. Let's get into it.
Yay!
Hey!
How are you?
So great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm awesome. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. It's really great to have you back.
So welcome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I always love our chats.
I know, especially because we get to hang out, Janine.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say, for anyone who doesn't know or doesn't know us, we go. Our history goes way back to when we were little baby hairdressers and had salons across the road from each other.
We did
that neighbourly thing of borrowing a cup of 20 bowl or, you know, using each other's basins.
That's right. We had such a small water tank, and so if we ever ran out of water, we'd quickly run across to your salon.
Yeah, it was great. It was so good, wasn't it? It was excellent. And now we're great friends, and we still talk war stories and salon stories and team
stories. We do.
Yeah, it's excellent. All right, hey, shall we dive right on in? So you're going to be sharing today the five meetings to rule them all. Very much looking forward to hearing about this. Before we do, maybe a quick intro, like who is Larissa? What do you get up to?
One thing you won't know about me is I do singing.
Well, I know that.
Janine and I often have a little sing-song together. But besides that, completely irrelevant for today. So I'm a 20-year salon owner. I did my apprenticeship, and 6 months out of my apprenticeship, I opened my first salon. Probably good that I did it then because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. That was a good thing. Might not have done it otherwise. But 20 years later, I sold pretty close to the 20-year anniversary, actually. I had 30 on the team. We were just tapping on the $2 million turnover mark. I turned 40, and it was like, what am I going to do with the next 20 years? I had a really great 20 years. And anyway, I decided to sell, and Salon Owners Collective was born 10 years ago, actually.
Wow. At the end of this month.
Yeah. So for the last 10 years, we've been helping hair and beauty salon owners go from where they typically get stuck, you know, typically 400-500K a year, and a lot of salons stagnate there and kind of can't grow past. And so our goal in life is to help, hey, Michelle, is to help more salons reach the $1 million mark, because there's real freedom for the owner. There's a lot of profit for the owner. There's security, and you know, like when Jane is sick, there's enough team to pick it up and the owner doesn't have to go back on the floor. Like, it's a pretty good sweet spot at the $1 million mark. And so that's our goal in life, to do that. And my salon CEO is our tool that really helps owners be better mentors, run better meetings, and get the engine of their business, which is their team, to be confident in leading their team and have the tools to do that. Because I think, like meetings, this is why this topic is so important, because too many owners are fearful of standing up in front of their people, don't know what to talk about anyway. And so, you know, sometimes the tail wags the dog and the owner is chasing the team and like can't quite get on top of them. So you and I are in a bit of a joint mission of changing that for the industry.
Yeah, 100%, Larissa. If I had a dollar for the amount of salon owners that say to me, oh, I can't get my team to do that. I'm like, yeah, a second, who's driving the bus?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's why having really good structure around meetings really helps the owner be in the driver's seat. So if the team are the engine, like somebody's got to have the hands on the wheel, and having consistent meetings is one of those tools.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I'm so looking forward to our chat today. I know myself, I ran meetings in my salon. And you, a lot of people do look at it and think, oh my God, isn't that a waste of time? Yeah, you actually are making more money from the result though, right? So let's dive on in. So my first question for you is, if you sat in a typical salon team meeting across New Zealand somewhere right now, what do you think you would see? And how does that compare to what a meeting in a well-run salon would actually look like? A bit of a long question, I know, but...
Okay, well, I reckon there's a lot of chit-chat about the weekend, a lot of, ice-breaking and chatter-chatter. I think there are a lot of salon owners who don't feel confident to rein the conversation in and get really clear on the point. There's a bit of complaining about, like, who left the food in the fridge and they didn't close the milk and, like, who left the, finger-pointing, probably. And there's one or two people, we used to call them the face, that are sitting in the back on their phone and they're like chewing the gum and not really present, and they've got the face on.
Yeah.
And man, that's a distraction. If you're a business owner and you've got a team member like that, it can derail really quickly. So there's usually one of those in a team. So if you're listening, can you let me know, do you have one of those faces? Because I know you've probably got one.
Yeah, well, you always had some faces, And to be honest, even with the best Rail 1 team, someone's energy can come in like that of a day because they're not having a great day, right? So as a leader, you also need to be able to turn the face around in the team before they infect the kind of team, right?
We used to laugh because then the face would leave. Eventually they would, resign.
Yeah.
And then we'd go, there's no face. And lo and behold, someone else would
be. Somebody else? Yeah, 100%.
So anyway, I think that's like, that would be a typical meeting, which doesn't make it really joyful and as a business owner to go and lead that, and then the other thing is they would be ad hoc and not very often. One, because there's this mindset, as you mentioned before, Janine, that when I take the team out, they're not making money, and so I'm losing money. And so they see it as a bit of a waste of time, so they do it as little as possible. And then when you've got to face the face and all of that stuff, like, it's, you don't feel very excited to do that, and so you need a plan. So I think if you were going to turn that around, you need a really clear agenda, like there needs to be a purpose to turn up. It needs to be every week. I know people are going to freak out and go, what do you mean every week? But I actually think an hour every week is the best investment that you can ever do. And don't worry, I've got the 5 meetings that you can run in those hours. But there's a clear agenda, there's a clear purpose, and they happen consistently and concisely.
And to your point, I think, housekeeping or the whinging about the fridge or that, no one wants to turn up to a meeting like that, right? Like, I know myself, when I had my team meetings, my mantra was make it feel like something they would have paid for. Like, so that was the energy that I wanted to go into my, it was of value to me, but also of value to them, right? Because, So second question for you, and this kind of feeds into, keep the housekeeping out of the team meeting, make it inspiring. But so a lot of salon owners dread running team meetings because they're like, what do I do? And most team members dread attending them, especially if they're ad hoc, because they feel like they're just going to be hauled over the coals, right? Or something.
Yeah.
So what makes a team meeting actually work and what kills them?
Okay. I think let's talk about the word purpose, because I mentioned that before. There's got to be a really clear purpose to get together, and then the leader needs to hold people to account to achieve that goal, whatever that goal is. And so there's 5 different goals, obviously. So depending on what it is, that's the goal of the leader, is to achieve the outcome or the purpose of that meeting. It should be, I like yours, I'm going to steal your idea, Janine, like you would pay to go, like good enough to pay to go. And that doesn't mean fun for fun's sake. That doesn't mean roses and bubbles. It's not an entertainment event. Because I think there's this, as an owner, sometimes you can hold on to responsibility. I have to make this engaging and entertain the people. It's actually not about that. And too many owners are scared of talking about what's truly going well, but actually what's going not well, and holding people to account, because it doesn't have to be if you're doing bad that you get told off.
Yeah.
That's not the purpose of a meeting, is like tell everybody off and then they feel bad. And it's not entertainment, but it is about drawing a real line of accountability and saying, this is what we're trying to achieve. This is what we're not doing. Like, this is what I'm seeing happening, the thing that's not happening. Yeah. This is what I'd like to see happen. This is the change that I need. Draw the line and then hold them to account. So whether it's practicing it now, you know, what we do want them to do, or following up on them later, or setting tasks for them to go away and do the thing and come back and train other people, or whatever it is. Right. Like, the goal really is to be a bit like a chairperson. Make it happen and hold people to account. Yeah,
100%. And I used to sometimes get each of my team member to be that person, like be the chairperson of a meeting.
The chairman.
Yeah. With full support and, you know, walking them through what it looks like and all of the things. But I think when you put them in that position, it also makes them realise, well, how hard it can be and how much you have to wrangle with your people at the table.
Yes. You need to have the skill that is crowd control.
Yes.
You know, like keeping people in and controlling them. And so I agree with you. It takes more than one person, I think. Like, it shouldn't be you against them.
Yeah. And sometimes, teams, they actually enjoy a different voice. Someone coming in from the outside or someone else in the team could have exactly the same message, but it's delivered in a different voice or a slightly different way, and it resonates or lands. And I'm such a fan of that. Like, it doesn't have to be you trying to make the change or get the behaviour or whatever it is. You can engage help to help you do that.
You know, the funny thing about that, Janine, is that, you know, if you've been banging on about something, you know, all year, and then a new person comes in, like Janine comes into my salon and says the exact same thing that I've been saying for the last year, and then everyone goes, oh, wow, that's amazing. Janine is so awesome. Yeah. And she told me this thing, and I'm like, I've been telling you that for the last year. What the heck?
I know. It's such honestly, a thing. It's really, and in most, you just, no ego, right? Ego at the door. Whatever gets the message across. But I think that's happened to every salon owner.
Yeah. But it's almost like you just know that you need that fresh voice to come in and land some things sometimes, or share it around your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so one of the biggest challenges with meetings, and, I, hand on heart, have had these experiences as well, where you run these amazing meetings, and you're like, yeah, we're on fire, we're going to get some stuff done, and then everyone walks away. What happens after it ends? Like, things get agreed, but then often nothing will happen. Like, how do you build accountability into your team meeting structure so that follow-through actually happens and you're not chasing 10 people every day?
Well, I think the first thing to think about is, as the business owner, your goal should be to walk away with the least to-dos.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be the one with all the doings and all the follow-ups and all the tasks. Like, your job is to be in the back seat, actually. You know how I was talking about the driver of the car, but in a meeting you should be in the back seat, somebody else should be driving.
Yeah.
And so that's the first goal. So then the chairperson should be the one taking notes. Like, these days you can transcribe it, it's really easy. Take the notes, and then there needs to be a follow-up. So my salon manager used to do my follow-up, and then she would send out the message to everyone with all the bullet points and all the key notes. And then she used to leave a little secret code in there. And if any team members saw the secret code, they'd have to go to her and they'd get a chocolate fish. But if they didn't get the secret code, then she would know that they haven't followed it up, especially if they hadn't read the notes, especially if they weren't present at the team meeting. So it kind of made it a little bit fun, like accountability with a little bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. It's so good.
Yeah. Because
it can be very hard to get that accountability. And not just in our industry. I've seen it in many when, you know, I've been in meetings and I'm like, well, this is great. Everyone must be, and people kind of sort of say, well, no, not really. This is not my first rodeo. Nothing will be done after. I'm like, wow, well, this is not good.
Yeah. So we actually built that feature into my salon CEO because we know it's such a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you take the notes in the team meeting, so you create the team meeting in the app, and then you keep the team meeting notes, and then you can assign tasks or actions or responsibilities to the people, assign their name to it, they get it in their app, and then when they do it, they tick it, and as the owner or whoever set the task in the first place, or the manager or whoever, they get notified that the task has been done, who it's been done by, that it's been or whatever. And you can add the links in to say, well, you know, watch this. This is how you learn to rebook. Watch it if they've done it. Ticket. So you kind of having the tools that help hold people accountable means that you, as the business owner or as the manager, you don't have to hold it in your head and be the one to chase. Because if you turn up at the meeting next week and you recap last week because you've got all the notes, you can see, and everybody can see who was at the meeting, whether or not they've done the thing. Because now you're accountable to the group and to the app, not to the owner. And I'm like, I've got the worst memory. Like, I hold a lot. I'm holding big things and little things. I don't want to hold on to, did Janine remember to buy the milk? Like, that's just too small. But if it's written down and she has to tick a task, and not only me, the whole team can see that she did or didn't do it, now you've got forced accountability. If they said yes in the meeting, then they should do the thing.
Yeah, nice. I love that. I love that, using technology to, you know, eliminate those net bites, because there are many when it comes to managing team, and it's the little things.
And there's, you can't scale your brain. Like, you've only got one brain, so you want to use the tools, like, and not 12 tools, one tool, and just like keep it simple, everything in one place.
Yes, yeah. I love what you've built there for teams. Okay, so you've worked with salons across, well, definitely across New Zealand, but also globally, right, for the last 10 years, actually.
10 years at the end of this month.
10 years. So what's the most common meeting mistake that you would see? One that kind of comes up again and again and again, regardless of size or success of a salon?
Okay. Owner walks away with all the responsibility, speaks at the team and takes all, so it becomes an us and them.
Yeah.
Definitely that. Lack of consistency. Like, they're ad hoc and there's not a consistent follow up and follow through. Not often enough. So communication is stilted and ad hoc, or there isn't any. So I think that really is probably the biggest mistakes. Not a clear purpose and not doing enough of them. Like, not knowing all the different types. So maybe this kind of, the title of this is the five meetings that rule. We should probably talk about what the five meetings are.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a perfect segue for you to share exactly what those meetings are. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep firing questions at you.
the first one, and I think the reason I'm going to say this one first, is the most important one, is actually the daily huddle.
Yes.
And like, we run a 9-minute daily huddle. Like, only takes 9 minutes. It doesn't take long. And the purpose of a daily huddle, first of all, it's for everybody. Second of all, it's daily. And really the goal is aligning the day.
Yeah.
So people are clear on the priorities. They know what is and isn't happening. Hey, guys, we're out of 20 volt. Sarah's away today. Janine doesn't have a lunch break. Maybe someone can go and get her something. This client's running late, whatever. The focus of the day, this is the goal. Financial goal. Target's goal, whatever the goal is for the business, needs to be shared. Maybe there's an incentive on that day, sharing what that is. It's not a place for training, feedback, emotional rants. It's like clear, hard, fast, clear outcome, and then, you know, all do a high five and go and get your shit done. It's the most important one. It is the one that we have this luxury of owners coming and working with us, and when we install that first, it's the one thing that moves the needle in terms of making the money go up the fastest.
100%.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community and other million-dollar plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary million-dollar strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
I'm such a morning huddle person. Yeah. Also, the other thing for morning huddles for me too, Riss, was setting the energy, because you know that whole thing about the person with the strongest energy will dictate the energy of the day. So yeah. As the owner, leader, manager, you could rechange the energy of the most sort of down person, or, you know, sad yeah. person or whatever, so that you could lift them up and keep the rest of the team up. So I'm such a fan of a morning huddle for all those reasons that you mentioned and that energy set.
You're so right, hey. Otherwise you get this backroom, you get the backroom leader, whoever's got the strongest energy, positive or negative, sets the room of the day.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. So that's meeting one, morning huddle. Okay. I'm all about it too. I think everyone should be doing a morning huddle without fail. Yeah.
And it is not a nice chat. There's a really clear purpose. It's all business. So anyway, that's the huddle. So number two is the all team meeting. I like to do it 60 minutes. Once you're clear about what the agenda is, then actually 60 minutes goes really quick. Oh, but if you're not clear about what it is, then like if it's 15 minutes, if it's 30 minutes, like to start is the main thing. Yeah. The whole team ideally should be there. You can take notes and send follow-ups for anyone who's not present. But for someone not being present is not the reason to not do it. Mm. So this is when you talk about business goals, performance and growth, salon updates, resetting and maintaining the standards, like this is how we call it, this is how we do it here. Those are those discussions. Yeah. It's not really sort of for individual coaching, or certainly not for venting and having a nice chat. Again, really clear purpose, really clear outcome. And once you get started, you realize like 60 minutes goes quick.
That's so fast. Yeah. We used to always
just
the clients would be coming in before we, you know, always.
Yeah, you're still going.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually ended up making ours an hour and a half because I needed. We needed it. But you know, each to their own on time. Yeah.
Well, we did too actually, but we always had training. We had some training as part of that time. But what we discovered, like that's how we did it, but often owners split that. So I actually jumped to number three is the one-on-one.
Yeah.
Talent development meeting. That's obviously individual. If you do them weekly, I'll talk about. If you do them weekly, then you probably only need 30 minutes. But I think you can do them daily, weekly, fortnightly, or monthly, depending on the development stage of each person. So the younger in their business and work, the younger they are, or the less experienced they are, the more often you need to give them, because you need to give them training and development and get them rebooking and upselling and all of the skills, right? So you want to do that more often. And then obviously the longer that they've been around, the less they need you.
Yes.
But the mistake often is that when people are well-established, owners stop meeting them altogether. And I think that's a mistake. And I think it should be at least monthly.
Yeah, I would agree. My ones that were, you know, didn't need such high touch, it was it 3 or 4 weekly. Yeah. They still definitely need input.
They do.
And advice and, you know. Yeah, support. Yeah.
Just accountability and a check-in. Performance, growth, pay check-ins, how they get to the next goal. I mean, people always leave when they run out of future, and so this is your opportunity to create future what's next. Mm. Okay, and then the next one is I'm going to jump to this one, talent development workshop, which we used to join with the team meeting, but now separated. And that is like the training on the skill. So whether it's hair skill or it's commercial savviness skills, or this is how we do it here skills, like actually a dedicated time to talk about the business, not just because I think we're really good as an industry at hairy training, you know, yes, colour yeah, and yeah. hair.
It's only what one about, part of it though, right?
So yeah, yeah. What about the consultation and how to upgrade yes. and how to talk to somebody and how to troubleshoot and all of those types of things I think are underdeveloped in
yes.
salons.
Yes.
And so I think you can definitely do it more often, but at a minimum monthly.
Mm.
Yeah. yeah. Like you and I did, we wrapped it into a weekly schedule.
Yeah,
but the more you can do it, the better. Like it is, that's the thing that you'll get a return on investment, you know, 10 times over.
Absolutely. And I think also the appetite for our young and new talent, so not necessarily young in age, like you say, but new and under experienced, they're hungry for it and they actually yeah. don't want to wait. So if yeah. we make them wait and we don't dedicate that time, that's when we lose them, right? So
totally.
Talent development has to be first and front and center to me. I think I personally think it should be weekly, but yep. if monthly is all you can make happen, then great. Got to start somewhere.
Mm. And it's going to depend on for you where you're at, how often you're on the floor as the business owner, to how often that you can do that.
Yes.
So do as much as you can, like more the better, and as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it one more? So was it our five?
One more. We call it the OMA, Owner Manager Alignment. And that's if you've got a manager that you keep in touch with the manager on a super regular basis, 30 minutes. So our framework is fortnightly, and then on the week that you're not meeting, there's a report that you send in, but again, as often as possible. Like the more aligned you are with your manager, the better they're going to perform. And so it's business alignment, because just because they're the manager or been working with you for a while doesn't mean that they know the goals or the vision of the business, you know, intimately. Leadership skills, like helping them with leadership stuff, like they're not as experienced as you are. They need help on how to have difficult conversations or rather make difficult conversations, easy conversations, and just removing roadblocks and then getting them to report back to you. I always love this idea that if information flows up to you, so to speak,
yeah,
then you never have to be the investigator and go looking for the answers.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't know what's happening in your business, then you've got to go and have a look, and nobody likes to be checked on, and, you know, then it feels like you're not being trusted.
Yeah.
So if you create a system where the information flows to you, you never have to go looking and be the one that's asking, and so the relationship's not awkward because they're always telling you in advance. And then you're like, oh, I know what's happening in the business. And so the OMA framework gives the manager a framework to bubble up to the owner. And then you can, you know, go and do your singing lessons and you don't have to worry about Zilla.
Yeah, that's so good, you know. And because I don't know about you, but I've been in those salons where the culture is exactly that. And you can tell the minute the owner or the manager walks in that doesn't communicate well with the team, it's suddenly just like eggshells, right?
Yeah.
Whereas an owner should be able to walk into the salon and the team are really happy that they're there. They don't feel like they're in there to check out what they're doing. They're there to support them and help them have a great day. That's how I always viewed my job as a salon owner. I'm there to help them have the best day they possibly can in every way.
Yeah. And really to change that, it's not that the people are awkward and then they think you're the boss and it's terrible. It's just you don't have a system to set up the communication flowing the right way. So it becomes awkward. You just turn it around and like all that awkwardness goes away.
Yeah, I love the OMA. I think that's great. All right, so before we wrap up, if every salon owner listening today ran just one of their meetings differently starting this week, which one would have the biggest impact? Which one would you say that they should start doing differently and would give them the greatest change or success?
The morning huddle. And every single day, doesn't matter who's there. Like one of the biggest objections that we say to people doing the morning huddle is like, well, not everybody's there, and when do I do it? We used to pay them. We would do, you had to arrive at 20 to 9, and that was 10 minutes before you started. You got paid from 10 to 9 because we did the 9-minute huddle at 10 to 9, and then you got 1 minute to scurry around. But we wanted people to be there at 22 because, you know, they put their bag down, put their lipstick on, look at the phone, go to the toilet, whatever. And so then you're ready to go at 10:02 and pay them. Don't expect people to turn up and you know, be at a meeting for free. It's worth the 50 minutes, 5 days, 10 minutes. It's worth paying them for 50 minutes to pay attention and set the energy, set the tone of the day, set the clear goal. Because if you don't set a goal or clear direction, people just float.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And I agree with you. Pay them to be there. Like, we wouldn't turn up for free, and no one in the corporate world expects people to turn up for free to a meeting. It's one of the biggest things our industry still needs to work on changing, right, is the value behind people's time. So I 100% agree. We should be paying them to turn up to the morning huddles. And to your point, don't not have them because the whole team isn't there. We used to put it into Trello. We had a Trello board that we would run that had all the, so it was on them to make sure they checked the morning huddle. Sometimes Carrie would write it down, put it out the back, whatever it looked like. And I know when we spoke to Sam earlier this year, she talked about using Teams, I believe, or Slack, something like that. So there are lots of apps, and probably your
exactly designed for that.
Perfect. Because you can't make it about that person being absent, right? The rest of the team suffer because you kind of go, oh, well, not everyone's here.
Yeah, that's right. So you want to raise the bar to the highest performing person, not the lowest performing person. You want to raise the bar to the people that are there, not the people that aren't there.
That's
so
right.
You know, do what you can with the ones that you have, because it's easy to think, oh, not everyone's there, so the people that do have, well, they miss out too.
Yes.
Not right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right. So before we leave, before we wrap up for today, well, thank you so much for your pearls of wisdom. So much great in there. And I did see one of your team dropped a link in the chat too to grab the 5 meetings. So that's amazing. So anyone watching, you hit that link and grab your free copy of the 5 meetings your salon actually needs. But do you have one mantra, recommendation, idea, thought that you want to leave with our people today?
Okay, that's a good one. I think my mantra of the day is keep it simple. I think humans really easily overcomplicate things or overthink things, and, you know, like not running a huddle because not everybody's there, and we overthink it. And it's like, just do the thing that you know is going to move the needle, and don't worry about the rest and overthink about it. So keep it simple, sweetheart.
Yeah, nice. I love that. As humans, we're so feature-itis orientated, aren't we? Oh, if that's good, we can make it better. We can do this too. Yeah, so keep it simple.
Do the stuff that works. Yeah,
do the start, because all the ideas and everything will flow from the start, right? So, yeah, great. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. What a great chat, Riss. I always love having time with you and chats with you, and you're a wealth of knowledge for our industry. So, yeah, it's been great. Thank you very, very much for sharing your insights on those meetings.
We'll do it again.
We absolutely will. You'll be back. All right. Go forth. Right. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. See you guys.
Bye. Bye. See you, Kate.
And that's a wrap. So there's your 5 meetings. And I know what you're thinking. Larissa, I don't have time for 5 meetings a week. I get it. But here's what I know from 20 years of salon ownership and a decade of working with hundreds of salon owners. The morning huddle alone, 9 minutes a day, moves the needle faster than anything else. Start there. Don't overthink it. Don't wait for the perfect moment or the full team to show up. Just do the 9-minute huddle every single morning and watch what happens to your business. If you want to go deeper and build a real system around not just the huddle, but the 5 meetings and getting your team back into momentum and performance, I'd love to have a quick call with you. We'll map out what your meeting structure should look like, what's keeping you stuck right now, and whether Salon Mastery is the right fit. The link is in the show notes, but it's also in my Instagram bio on the website. It's in all of the places. Thanks for being here. That's a wrap from me. And thanks to Janine for sharing her wisdom today. I'll see you next week.